of how you got on last week with week six with the breathing formula. How did you get on during the week?
I did like it, but I found it a bit difficult to stop counting or to I felt I wanted to say the words with the rhythm of the breath, so I got a bit caught up with that. Is there any have you got any advice to stop? Because I think it's not the point of doing that. I'm not supposed to breathe in with it or anything. I'm just
Yes, it that's sounding like you it was a little bit uncomfortable because you had those worrying thoughts in your mind about it.
I think it was a noticing that I was doing it rather than an uncomfort. But obviously, I was thinking afterwards, I think I was doing that. And I'm not sure I should be doing that. But it's something about the words, and the breathing.
We thank you. That's a very common situation. Beautifully done, Donna. Okay, right. Now then, Donna, as the client, well, of course, the thing about breathing is that it is a very, very closely associated with what we use it for, which a lot of the time is talking or singing or doing something else. And the breathing, as I said last week, is both dual fu is dual function, isn't it? It's both oh, what's the word? Voluntary and involuntary. And involuntary is when he's doing it automatically. So what you want in your autogenic exercise, of course, is the involuntary breathing. And that's okay because you're just going to watch the breathing going in and out. And that's all. And if the words, and I'm saying this, if the words, it breathes me, kind of slip in there somehow or other, that's fine. And if they don't somehow slip in there, that's fine too.
Okay, thank you.
So you just okay. Any other sort of feedback from your pretend week doing the breathing formula?
I found myself quite easily being able to let it do it for me without me interfering. It was a
Lovely.
bit difficult in the beginning because I was determined I was going to be. So I was finding it very hard to just kind of let go, but it didn't last long, and I very quickly got into that. And I might have mentioned this before. My sh breathing is quite shallow normally, and occasionally, very occasionally, I'd find something like my calf really twitching very forcefully, even my leg moving, and taking a deep breath in, and I just put that down to it knows what it's doing, I need more.
Exactly.
And so I really enjoy that exercise with that. It's very calming for me, and it's, yeah.
Okay. Calming and so on. And the point about that exercise is that it's doing its own stuff, as you rightly say. And the fact that it connected up with a calf twitching or a leg, it really is immaterial. But actually, what you're also doing, I shall acknowledge anyway, is going with whatever is happening, because we can trust it. Absolutely. Okay. Sebastian, you had your hand up.
Yes, for me, because this formula, it's quite new. It's actually when I reach, to say it, man, using the inner voice, it's actually speed up my breathing respiration. I don't know why, and made me a bit nervous.
Okay.
I'm not sure because maybe it's new and and I was focusing my attention on the breathing. And when you focus on something, actually you might think that, oh, it has to, to relax, it has to reduce your breathing rate. But
No.
unfortunately, it's the vice versa. It's the
Yes,
opposite effect when
that's
you
true.
try, to perhaps to control it, but that is another.
Well, we won't call it an error, but it's a good observation though. It's exactly what you experience. So that's your observation. And that's, we just accept that, of course. And what I've just said, what did I say? I said to Donna, didn't I? That actually sometimes it's better to do the breathing formula without actually using any words at all. And then your focus is simply on what's going on in the body. It still might speed up. It'll do what it fancies doing at that precise moment, and we follow it. And I don't know if you remember last week when we went through the exercise, we had a bit of a gap after heartbeat calm and regular. And then I said, and now let's go to the breathing. Just follow what it wants to do. And then if you had no words after that, you can leave out it breathes me and whatever, and just sit with the breathing for a few moments. And then move on. My neck and shoulders are heavy.
I think sometimes paying too much attention to one particular formula, you know, it might trigger some sort of anxiety thoughts or something.
Well, we were not even worried about what it might or might not trigger. It's actually, we're just in the moment. Breathing is happening in the moment. And it's doing what it needs to do in that moment. So we don't have to worry about it. If you don't like the idea of it at all, I'm talking to you as a client now, Sebastian. Okay. If you don't like it at all, you can, from heartbeat, you can go straight to, at the moment, neck and shoulders, or to the new one, and leave out the breathing bit. But everybody breathes, so it's quite difficult to do that. So I would suggest just sitting quietly for a couple of seconds while you're with the breathing and then moving on. And you are now in the training mode as therapist. You're quite right. We can focus too much and sort of make things happen too much. But please don't take that on board. Now I'm talking to you as a client, as it's your error. Nothing is your error. You're just doing the exercise. And you are observing. And nobody does anything wrong in that situation. There is no, because there's no expectation. So if your breathing quickens a little bit, that's fine. It'll subside again.
I think what I'm doing wrong, it's like perhaps it's not passive concentration. I'm engaging like active concentration, and I'm trying like to stop the flow of thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, which is really good, you know.
Well, the trouble, you're quite right, there is active concentration going on there, yes. And so let's now decide, well, the best way to let go of that is not to care about anything at all. I know I'm breathing, so hey, that's fine. So that those bits will come to you more readily as you go on. Yeah. Thank you. That's very useful. Thank you, Sebastian. Right. Pia, we're doing our pretend group feedback quite quickly if we can. Sorry, Pia, I'm looking at Bev. Yeah. How have you got on last week?
Pardon?
We're doing our pretend catch up with last week.
Oh, I did good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a little bit of the same thing about the breathing. You know, I wanted to, it's like when I was talking or saying the past sentence, it's like my breathing wanted to go with the words.
Yes. Like Donna
was
saying.
In the beginning and yeah. And then it stopped. And I remember I had that when I was a kid. I had that. Yeah. So, yeah. And now it's funny you say that, because I don't say any words for the breathing. It just sits there. Yeah. It's just happening on its own.
Yeah. Lovely, lovely. And that's, of course, that's Pia, the new therapist, now saying that. Whereas a client perhaps wouldn't have even thought of doing that and might have got a little bit tangled up like Sebastian did with the words and, oh, I'm supposed to breathe like this and all of that. So, yes, so these are the things we just help the client through. Yeah. Okay. And we haven't even asked about any kind of discharges which might have been occurring last week. I think we'll set those aside as well for this session right now. And Bev, how did you get on with that?
Well, I wanted to just read you what I wrote in my diary, if that's okay.
Yes.
So I had two or three episodes where focusing on my breath caused mild anxiety and a bit of panic. And the worst one I had was at night before I fell asleep, when I didn't cancel. And then I began feeling a sensation like a mass of energy moving from my stomach upwards, and eventually that dissipated, and then I was able to breathe normally again. It was frightening, but it was also, I was relieved to know that I could cancel. I could feel it and then cancel at any time if I wanted to. And sometimes focusing on my breath caused my breathing to become labored. So instead of being breathed, it felt like I was controlling or had to control the breath. And then I got a bit frightened about that. Like my breathing was no longer automatic. It's almost like I don't want to be in control of my breath. And then at other times, there was a sense of expansiveness. It's like my breath was no longer taking place just inside my body, but outside of me as well. Like the sense of rising and falling in my chest area was much larger than my body. So, yeah, kind of a mixed bag, really, of reactions there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have nothing to say apart from what we need is for you to be comfortable with it. And so sometimes that means learning, well, say learning is the wrong word, getting to the point where we are comfortable with the discomfort. And actually, as we've just been saying, your breathing is doing what it needs to do at that precise moment. So what on earth was going on at night, we don't really know. But yes, you can cancel. Actually, we use the word close now just to be aware of that. You can come out of it at any time. You can. Are you controlling your breath? Well, if it feels like you are, then perhaps you are. Does it really matter at that precise moment? Perhaps we can bring our levels of awareness just to, well, it's okay. It's all right. It's a bit odd, but it's okay. And of course, you can close when you want to come out of it. That is perfectly true. But the other side of it, that expansiveness and the your chest rising and falling almost bigger than you are, as long as it's not making you uncomfortable, which you didn't say it was just something different, then that's what it is, something different. Our experiences are all going to be different. Yeah. I think that's what I would say to you as a client.
Yeah.
And if all else fails, just like I've said to Sebastian, to say fails, that's not right. But if it all still feels a bit difficult, just to sit there with the breathing going on. You'll notice you've already spoken about when your chest rises and falls. Actually, very often the tummy rises and falls. And when we become aware of that, then we've probably got very good breathing going on because it's the diaphragmatic breathing, the diaphragm and the belly is moving in and out just as much as the chest might move up and down. How does that sound?
Yeah, thank you. Good.
Okay. I have no idea how much you were in role there, Bev, or whether it was real. So that was a lovely practice moment for me. But so how are you with it, though? It is all right, is it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And thank you. No one has ever said what many people do say, that they felt that they got really deep into their autogenic training with the breathing formula. That's a very common reaction. People think that they've been doing, you know, whatever it is, but they really notice something changing with this one. I can't explain it. I wouldn't try to explain it. Donna, would you say the same thing, that people,
I would,
this is a moment when they do it? And part of that too, of course, is because we're doing the whole session of three exercises in one go rather than closing in between. So that, of course, lends itself to going deeper in. But the breathing very often slows down. And if it doesn't, it doesn't matter. It will at some point. Okay, that's our go round. That's beautiful. Thank you very much at 10 past 11. Right. We're now going to introduce our next autogenic exercise. Oh, by the way, you don't need to answer this for real, but this is in the session. Has anybody done any offloading? What's been going on around that? So that's part of the weekly report. Has anyone done any offloading? And very often it's no, as Sebastian is saying, and other people will say, well, I've done a bit and this and that. So Yes, so we have that as part of the weekly report. So now we're going to move on to our new autogenic exercise. And here are the sheets. I'm handing them out to everybody so you can see what it is. Okay, so let's have a look at it. We've got my right arm is heavy. We're very familiar with that. That's our trigger phrase. It gets us in there. We've still got my arms and legs are heavy and warm. We're taking that with us wherever we go. It's heavy and warm in the arms and legs all the time. We've got it. Heartbeat and breathing are still in place. Of course they are. Now we've added them in, we would never take them out. We have a new phrase this week. We're going to abdominal warmth, and the phrase we're going to use is, my solar plexus is warm. And this started, of course, through Schultz's research, asking his questions, what were his patients reporting? And very often they reported warmth in the abdominal region. So he put in the phrase for this as solar plexus. You've got a question, Bev.
Yeah, what were his patients doing when they were reporting abdominal warmth?
The autogenics so far. I can only imagine. I mean, because he was developing this as he went along.
Yeah.
And he was being instructed by his own patients who he was listening to and so on.
Okay.
So yes. And actually, that's a good point, though. It's because it's not that any particular part of autogenic training brings about a particular sensation or anything like that. People could have had abdominal warmth going on, even with short stitch, even with heaviness, right at the start. So it's the autogenic state that is doing the work, not the actual point that we happen to be in. I think that's useful for us to grasp as new therapists. Okay, but for you as a client, this is just the way it was developed. We do know that Schultz was very interested in Eastern meditations. So he probably understood things like the solar plexus chakra. However, it's a very strange wording for a medical doctor and scientist and psychiatrist to be putting into a medical method, which this is. So, or a psychological method anyway. So the solar plexus bit might be a little bit of a surprise, especially if you are aware of what the solar plexus chakra is. It's actually a center of energy like the other chakras placed quite far down the body. But don't let's worry with that. Let's take Schultz's determination to make this medically recognizable. So he decided that if the solar plexus is a little bit higher up in the abdomen, then it actually does attach itself quite cleverly with the nerve supply to the stomach and the upper abdominal organs. You had your hand up just a moment ago, Pia.
Yeah, just the solar plexus is a medical term. It is actually in the body. It's a nerve center that just get all the nerves out like a sun.
Yes. But could it be, thank you for that. People don't seem to relate to it, so that's why I usually use these sorts of analogies. So because I'm actually not sure of it myself, so I'm very pleased to hear you say that. I'm not sure how I'd explain it to the clients. I'm not quite sure. So what he was also doing, though, was going to the upper abdominal organs. And if you look at the diagram that accompanies this sheet, which you may not have got out ready, it's a rather curious diagram that the solar plexus is just under the diaphragm at the back, carefully, what shall I say, protected by the vertebral column. But there are those nerve centers going all the way up and down the spine, as we know that when we've seen those diagrams, haven't we? So we tend to associate what we are talking about, especially attached to abdominal warmth, with that particular setting for it in the upper abdominal region. However, we can also say, on a completely different tack for a moment, that when we're under stress, and a lot of distress going on and a lot of difficulty, the whole digestive system involving the whole abdominal cavity can actually, or does, shut down until the stress is passed. And that goes back way to our original survival mechanism of fight and flight. And if we really are running away from the luck tiger behind the lamppost, then you don't want to be worrying about where the nearest toilet is. So the body looks after itself there. I've made a little joke there, but perhaps you missed it. But if we are running away from the tiger behind the lamppost, which of course we're not going to be doing in our society, we don't want to have to be worrying about where the nearest toilet is. We're in absolute danger. We've got to run and flee and save ourselves. So the body takes care of that, shuts everything down so that we can focus on the run and the saving ourselves. And when all of that has passed, then the body can relax. It won't be doing autogenics, but it might be hiding in its cave, and it's got its food to eat, and everybody is safe, and the sun is shining, and we are recovering and recuperating, and so does the digestive system. And Anne will talk more about that today. So that's what I explain to my clients. So another way, and an added way, is I really don't want you sitting in your autogenic position, wondering where that little black dot of your solar plexus really is, because actually I don't think you'll find it in that way. We could have another idea of connection, a connection with the center of ourselves, an idea of perhaps the real me, the person I don't show to other people very much. And that's another way of putting an idea forward for the client, just to stop them rummaging around too much, trying to find this place in there. So that's a way of doing it. Why warm? Because the blood flow, when the stress is passed, the blood flow returns, so shall I say, properly or smoothly to all regions in the body, so that warmth occurs in that region as well as in the arms and legs, as we already know. How is it sounding? Okay. Donna and Patricia, would you have anything to add to that or another twist to the tale?
I'm very fond of my solar plexus, actually, because it informs me about things.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's, sorry, I'm going to interrupt there, because as a client, and you've never done this before, okay, so we're doing that bit. But even as therapists, we want to be very careful what we tell our clients. So I wouldn't speak about your personal experience when you are teaching them, and you probably don't. So that's fair enough.
That's true.
So that's your personal observation. Okay, that's lovely. Thank you. And you're right. Of course, it's telling us a lot. Donna, would you have anything to...
The only thing, because when we talk about it, we talk a lot about it from the front, don't we? And some people, especially with IBS or like endometriosis or what have you, might not like the thought of more warmth going to that area. So I think, I can't remember who told me, but I learned just recently, actually, that I don't know why I didn't work it out for myself, but you can come at it from the back, and that bypasses all of whatever might be associated with warmth where you don't want it, but you can still access it from the back. So I always mention that as well, and it sort of puts some people at ease, and others, they don't need to know that.
They don't need to
know. Yeah.
No, thank you so much. And of course, we have to be a little bit careful of our language as well, and say you can go to the back so that it doesn't take it where you don't want it. Of course, it's going to go wherever, whatever happens. Yeah. So, but no, that's a really good point. And I always remember Luther saying that. He said you could approach it from the back if you want, because that's, you know, that is the area of where all that nerve supply is. And I do remember somebody doing their very first solar plexus exercise. She was in a group, and when we finished it, she happened to be wearing a very wide belt, you know, one of those really wide belts. She whipped it off and passed it around the room. There were three or four people in the group, and it was red hot. It really was hot. It was extraordinary. She said, this is much more than just me leaning back in my chair. this is much more. And she was delighted, and we were all saying, oh wow, you know. So anyway, and that's always, that sort of thing is always my cue for saying, look, it really doesn't matter whether you feel anything or not. And I very rarely feel anything in my solar plexus. I'll be quite open about that. So there we go. That's what it is and how it is. Thank you, Donna. That was really important. Shall we do an exercise now? So I'll lead you through our new autogenic exercise. So we're on Zoom, so we will pick our posture according to the seating we've got. Remember now, you're in week 6 of your clients. We don't have to spoon feed them too much. We can assume they've done far more practice on their own than you have done in teaching them. So we don't have to labour the points about posture. The most important thing is, I think we're all in a version of the armchair posture, is just to make sure you're comfortable. So let's settle, close our eyes, and we can be aware of the feet resting and the hands and arms resting. Just make sure your head is either supported or you've let it drop forward or it's balanced, one of those. So the scan is now, let's listen to the sounds around us to acknowledge and let be. And now an awareness that the body is comfortable. If you need to adjust something, you can do that. And especially paying attention to the face, forehead, eyes, mouth, and jaw. And now we take the awareness to the dominant arm. My right arm is heavy. My arms and legs are heavy and warm. My arms and legs are heavy and warm. My arms and legs are heavy and warm. My heartbeat is calm and regular. My heartbeat is calm and regular. My heartbeat is calm and regular. As before, we take a little time to follow the breathing. It breathes me. It breathes me. It breathes me. And now we'll move on, taking the awareness to the tummy, the abdomen, or approach it from the back, whichever is your preferred. Or maybe connecting something within you. My solar plexus is warm. My solar plexus is warm. My solar plexus is warm. My neck and shoulders are heavy. My neck and shoulders are heavy. My neck and shoulders are heavy. I am at peace. I am at peace. I am at peace. And now we'll close in the usual way, both fists and sharply bringing fists to shoulders, and then the stretch. Deep breath, open your eyes. Okay. Sebastian, you might have gone to sleep. You need to close. What was happening?
forgot to mention that I'm not able to flex my arm because I have a pain patch and it's going to cause me a lot of pain. So the way I close now is just clench, take a deep breath and then relax. I'm really sorry.
No, don't apologize.
I need to make adjustments.
Yes. Okay, so you've made adjustments. You could do some of this, and you
yes,
could do
yeah,
the feet.
Yeah. Otherwise, good. I cannot bend sharply, and I cannot flex. I'm sorry for the timing.
That. Okay, if you could do it with one hand, that might be possible. Your good hand.
Really, with only one hand? I thought
with one hand. Well, I'm not saying don't do the other things, but you could. But you know, just
well,
to keep.
Yeah, I'll try. Yeah, okay.
So, just see, that's up to you. This
I
is.
I thought it has to be both arms, otherwise.
Well,
okay.
On the whole, it does. But if we're adapting, we can try different things and see what feels best for you. Okay, this is a really good example, Sebastian. Thank you, because we're on Zoom. You're going to be doing Zoom teaching. I spotted that you hadn't closed. I thought, okay, so it's corrected or whatever. You told us what the issue was, and we've given you some ideas of how to adapt and made sure that you could still come out. So that's my safeguarding, your safeguarding. So that's good. So while we're on you, how did you get on with that new phrase?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am. Sorry. Yes, while we're with you.
I don't know. It's just a bit weird, I would say, because you know, perhaps as any human being, you'll start asking yourself, do I have to locate the solar, right? Like, so, you know, so I was trying to exactly, perhaps the same type of error, you know, I'm trying to imagine where exactly it is in the body, you know, this is the first, you know, impression. But perhaps by the time it will become an automatism, you know, it will be just as a normal, you know, as a normal habit, as a normal practice. I think it was
enough.
Interesting. And the introduction that you actually said, and now, sorry, I forgot exactly the words that you're using, but there was a little bridge in between the formulas that you use. Like you mentioned something, we approach it from the back and abdomen, and then you introduce actually, you know, the solar plexus.
Yes. Well, thank you. And that was actually so that you as a new client knew what we were talking about. We've just been introducing it and explaining it. And now during the exercise, I'm just helping you to draw your attention to that area. That's all, not to make anything happen. But we do that when we do a new exercise, you know, with the neck and shoulders. I think in your recordings, I didn't hear that. So now we'll take our awareness to the neck and shoulders. You know, the diamond shape. We would say that when we are first leading them through a new exercise. So, yes, that's what I was doing. Okay. You'll find it all written down somewhere, you know, the sorts of things that you can say. Thank you, Sebastian. Bev, any? Not any. How did you get on?
Yes, I seem to be having hay fever sneezes or some allergic response at the moment. So it's very hard for me to kind of drop into that exercise, so to speak. Mm. Yes. Mm. But I look forward to practicing it at home.
Thank you for muting. I did see you doing your sneeze and I thought, oh, poor Bev, that's a bit of a shame. And of course, it could maybe shot you out of the exercise and then, of course, you join it. So you just have to manage it as best you can when you're at home, of course. Yes, understand that. Thank you for that. And sometimes that's the case. Somebody hasn't actually done the new formula very feelingly or meaningfully because they've had an interruption like that. Never mind. That's the way of it. Okay, and Pia, any comment on your first experience of solar plexus?
No, it's I had a sensation of a little bit of warmth, but I don't know if I imagined that. Yeah.
I love that, because it really doesn't matter. If you had a little bit of warmth and you imagined it, does it matter? It might have been real, it might have been imagined. Hey, I hope it was comfortable.
Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah.
Good. Okay, thank you. Donna, as a client, how might you respond to that?
I found the coming in from the back very helpful.
Okay.
So even being in the process, your little reminder kind of helped me there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that will become natural for me now.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that. And Patricia, any comment as a client?
I felt it quite simple to visualize and feel. I couldn't feel my solar plexus, but confident that I know where it is.
Yes.
And that was, I think, mainly because as a child, I got whacked in the solar plexus with a rounders bat accidentally, and I collapsed to the ground. And I know somebody told me, "Oh, that was right in your solar plexus." Very sensitive. That's why it's so well hidden in the body. Yes.
You're quite right. Yes. And Luther's diagram used to be the solar plexus is right in the middle here. And it was a picture of a man wearing boxing gloves and wearing boxing shorts and somebody else going to punch him in the solar plexus. I've never used that picture. It looks too violent for me. I don't want to give it out to my clients. Sorry. I've got something absolutely ridiculous sitting on my thing. There we are. I've got you back again. Yes, Pia.
I want, and this is just a question, and I know I was young when I learned this, but I was told to imagine a sun that just was glowing. That's not okay, is it?
Thank you, and well done. It's not okay. Yes, you used the words imagine, didn't you, there? I think I know where it is, Patricia. Yes. As we've said before, we never put images into our autogenic training because the whole process is about stuff emerging if it's going to. So we don't want to be contradicting that. And so from that point of view, we don't consciously imagine. But we might have, you know, it's difficult. There are blurred edges around all of this because we could be imagining it in a sense, not visually, but maybe mentally, just by going, being aware of the tummy or going to the back, as Donna did. So, you know, that's a form of, it's not imagery, though. It's a form of imagery. It's a thinking about it. We often talk about mental contact, don't we, in autogenics. It's there. We have mental contact with the arm, maybe. Can we make mental contact with the solar plexus? Possibly. And actually, it really, really doesn't matter. It's just words. And that's the curious thing with autogenics. It doesn't matter if you're not aware of your solar plexus. It doesn't matter if it isn't warm. You might be aware of it if it's painful. So, okay. And maybe IBS, for example, might have a little bit of a flare-up. But actually, not necessarily because of these words, it might have had a flare up with heaviness exercise. So we can't marry any specifics with any other specifics. It's just doing what it does. Okay.
If I was trying to get pregnant, Jane, would it have an effect?
That's an extremely good question. There's quite a lot of debate around that. It used to be that if you were pregnant, you wouldn't use a solar plexus formula. On the whole now, people are saying, actually, the reason for that is that should there be some complication in the pregnancy which could induce a hemorrhage, then if we put in solar plexus warm, then we could exacerbate that hemorrhage and make it worse. Then the more we've talked about this over the years, nobody has ever come across a situation like that. So you as a client, Donna, I would say, see how things feel. It could be that in the early stages of pregnancy and you have a bit of morning sickness that actually you don't want to use it. It just doesn't feel very comfortable anyway. But otherwise, quite a lot of people in late pregnancy find it's actually quite nice. And they actually quite like that attention to this really sort of tight place of the baby not yet ready to be born. And they actually like it there. So it's a very personal thing. And I really thank you for asking that question. I think we're less likely to call it a real contraindication nowadays than we were in the past. Ev?
Yes, I've got an interesting question to ask now, which is about Occasionally sexual feelings in the common experiences one. And I think it came up also in Anne's talk when she talked about training symptoms and what can happen. It was in there. And I wondered like how you handle it when you're working with clients, if they say that they notice kind of like a sexual pulsation in their genital area or things like that in response to the exercise.
Well, on the whole, I think people, if they are experiencing that, don't tell you.
Okay.
Unless that's something about me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if they do, you're going to ask them, oh, how was that then? And they might have a little smile and a little, ooh, yeah, well, it was actually quite that. Yeah, fine. Well, then, hey. Yeah. And I'm now thinking really outside the box, out of my experience. I've taught a lot of people who have a background of sexual abuse. But then that's not really about the same thing as being as having a sexual response to a relaxing thing. So I haven't actually had anybody with that kind of, what shall I say, report. I think on the whole, it's quite rare. Yes, it can happen. Of course, it can happen. And yes. Pia, what are you going to say?
So you have no men with an erection or anything? You haven't had
that? You can hear me hesitating. Not in doing this standard basic AT. I don't think, or I haven't noticed, they haven't told me. And all of that stuff. What about you, Donna? Has that been a situation ever?
No. I'm sort of thinking, have I missed something? I
don't think I have. Yeah. I've talked about this with my therapist, and I heard a story, you know, whereby a previous client came in and said that it was triggering orgasms for her. That was one of her discharges. So yeah, I was curious to kind of just bring that into the group because it's something like in the rest and digest phase, there's also the possibility for the body to enter easily into arousal. Yeah. You know, when I'm running away from that tiger, I'm not thinking about sex at all. It's the furthest thing from my mind.
Yes.
But in the autogenic state, sometimes that will happen to me, and I'm treating that just like I would, I guess, if I was working with clients, like any other thing. Absolutely. You know, is it uncomfortable? Are you disturbed? Yes. Do you need to cancel and so on? Yeah. But it's
sorry to interfere, but I'm just curious: did that happen during autogenic process? Were happened during another type of therapy or counseling? Because I think, you know, if it's autogenics, we are more inclined to relax, you know, there's a relaxing response of the body. So, you know, like, let's say if
stick with autogenics. Sorry to interrupt, Sebastian. Okay. Because that is our job. I mean, that all of those things can happen. I quite understand. I think the real question is, was it happening at home or has it happened just now in the room? And those are the sorts of things to be asking. Okay. We know about relaxation and everything. We don't have to explain how it's happening. We don't have to do that.
No. I just wanted to know whether it happened during the autogenic process or the patient had another kind of therapy. That's all. That was my question. Yeah. Happened during an autogenic process.
Well, this is what, as the therapist, you would check out with the patient. But in the end, if it's happened in the autogenics, then yes, we have to deal with it, as Bev has rightly said. So how was that? Was that comfortable? You know, did it make you want to rush home to your partner? Whatever it is. So we go along with it all, however it happens. It sounds, though, from the example you've made, Bev, as though somebody was getting repeated orgasms, which might have been quite disturbing.
Yeah, I don't think it was. How I feel about that is the orgasm itself is an offloading process.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's you know, certainly immensely offloading for emotions, the physicality. So it kind of, to me, it's, you know, goes without saying that that could be something that might happen. And I'm never ever going to suggest that ever, as in I would try never to suggest anything to any of my clients. But, you know, I guess I just want to be as prepared as I can with the right response. You know,
quite honestly,
brave enough to even mention it, because, you know, when it comes to sexuality, most people don't talk about it. You know,
we have to move on. We're at 11:41. I've got a lot more to do before Anne comes at 12. I'm sorry to stop you, Bev. So, yes, all of these things are the right answer. You will just deal with whatever it is in the moment. OK. And it's very rare. I haven't really come across it. OK. Once when someone was doing deeper level work, but that was different topics altogether. Right. Okay, so that's our new, have I spoke to everybody? Yes. Yes, we have. Okay, done our go round. Now, our next job in our session today is to talk about dreams. Dreams, very interesting, because sometimes our sleep difficulties are connected with dreaming or not dreaming. So the first thing is to ask you how you are sleeping. Is everybody here sleeping fine generally? No, not really. Okay. And there might be all sorts of reasons. Okay. I quite get that. Absolutely. With autogenic training, very often sleep changes happen really quite early on. So people who are not sleeping well suddenly find themselves sleeping better. Or people who have no sleep problems at all also report sleeping better. So this formula I deliberately leave till quite late in the course. This is week 7 in our 9-week course. Is it? Yes, in our 9-week course. And if we consider dreaming, this is some work that Luther did, which I think is really clever. If we consider dreaming, it's something that happens spontaneously, doesn't it? We are asleep and our dreams happen from within us, and it's part of our sleeping process where maybe we're in, oh yes, we are in that lighter stage of sleep, the rapid eye movement state of sleep that occurs sort of every 90 minutes every or 2 hours, something like that. That's when dreaming is going to happen. We might be aware of it, we might not be aware of it, but whatever it's doing, it's very autogenic. It's exactly like everything else that we're doing in our course here. Dreaming is spontaneous. It comes from within. Now, Luther began to ask the people who were waking frequently in the middle of the night and then finding it difficult to go back to sleep, kind of what was going on. And he began to ask himself the question, is it possible to have dream resistance? And so he developed a theory which can be that when a person is waking up frequently during the night and they don't know why, it could be because they've had a dream at some point or another and it's been an unpleasant dream, and instead of dreaming itself through so that it gets to a resolution in the dream, even if it's a nasty resolution because it's a bad dream, it's still got to a resolution. That is the point of dreaming, that we need to dream a dream through to its resolution. And we may have forgotten all about it, not known about it, and in the morning, all of that is gone. Okay, what happens then if we have a bad dream? And here comes the dream. Oops, I'm falling off a cliff, I'm going to die. What happens? We wake up and we've woken up in the middle of the dream. Oh, it's a nightmare. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, I can't. Oh, and go and have a glass of water and go to the loo and so on. And you get back to get bed and then you think, oh, I might go back to that dream again. I don't think I can go to sleep. Oh, I don't know about that. And then perhaps you do go back to sleep and it's fine. But the next night, the same thing happens. The dream comes along. Whoa. And why is it doing that? It's because the dream hasn't reached its resolution. The brain has come out of the dream because our cognitive function says, oh, don't like this at all. Well, it's partly cognitive, it's partly emotional, of course. We're shot out of the dream. Then gradually we get to the point where we realize we are having recurring dreams. That dream keeps recurring. And when it does, we wake up, and that's that recurring nightmare. That's where it comes from. And then as that develops a bit further, so that the dream actually begins to start, but the brain says, uh-oh, dream around the corner, I'm going to wake up. Now, the person wakes up, but they don't know why, because as far as they are concerned, they're not dreaming. They've woken up before the dream is registered. It hasn't got to that point. So they say, I don't know why I wake up. I've no idea. And it takes me a while to get back to sleep again. And that's what Luther called resistance to dreaming, when the brain wakes up quite spontaneously with no dream actually annoying it at that moment. So he thought, how are we going to help this? And he developed what he called the dream formula. And the dream formula is on that sheet that you've probably got in front of you. The idea of it is that we pop it into our autogenic exercises, perhaps the afternoon, the evening, and certainly the nighttime ones. If you're still awake, of course, that's another challenge. You might not be awake. You might have to do right arm heavy and then use a dream formula. But anyway, the dream formula is not about helping our sleep. The dream formula is about helping the brain to accept the dream and to go with it, even though we might be close to waking up, and it is helped to resolve. And then we've got a huge change that's taken place in the brain. We can now begin to dream without waking up. We can have the dreams. That's all right. The dreams are okay. And that's why these dream formulas, the examples on your sheet, are quite positive, but they're also very gentle. And we retrain the brain to dream, and to dream with acceptance. And that is the bit that will help your sleep. Donna and Patricia, do you give this out to people?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What have you found as a result of that?
I would say the majority are not that interested in it. They're, you know, if they have a problem, any problems with their sleep, they would be. But
exactly.
If someone hasn't, they're not that interested.
You're absolutely right there. And I have forgotten to mention that that's the first thing I say with this. If you're sleeping fine, you don't need this. Pop it in the back of your folder. You really don't need it. It's fine. But if you're not sleeping, this might be just what will help. What about you, Donna?
Again, like Patricia, if they don't need it, they just don't take it on board. But those that do need it find it fascinating and can't wait to try it, actually, because they understand and think, oh, that could be what I think.
Yeah,
they slip it in. And I've had some really good results with insomniacs.
How lovely. With using this,
a lot of the time the AT has helped anyway, and this is just an extra kind of thing at the end. But yeah,
that's absolutely right. And of course that's why it's good to leave it till the end of this, to let general AT see what that's going to do first, which will of course help when we get to this point. So you would never be faced with an insomniac and given the dream formula in week one. You wouldn't. Actually, I have done that. A story. A woman came to me. Actually, it wasn't quite week one. A woman came and she had been involved in a fearful car accident, head-on collision with a white van about 4 or 5 years earlier. It had rendered her with multiple injuries, multiple surgeries to cope with it, which of course is adding trauma onto, here comes Anne, adding trauma onto the situation of having had the accident. She found that she couldn't sleep. And that was really why she was coming to me to learn autogenics. She couldn't sleep. Every time she shut her eyes, the white van was here. And she just couldn't. So that was a huge anxiety trauma response. So when I started to teach her autogenic training, the same thing happened. She shut her eyes. Hello, Anne. She shut her eyes and the white van was still here. She couldn't even do her autogenics. So that was really tough. And I was very early in my practice then. I didn't know what to do for her because she could neither sleep nor do her autogenics. What were we going to do? So I gave her the dream formula to use without any autogenics, and she could sit in a chair and be comfortable and relaxed and half close her eyes. We decided she was going to keep her eyes generally open, and half closing her eyes, if you try it now, you've got a few images around. I've got my desk and my hands on my desk and so on. So that gave her a little bit of confidence that she could do this. And then she used one of the dream formulae. I can't remember which one she used, probably something like, I can go along with my dreams, which is not autogenics at all. However, it was quite extraordinary, because when she came back, she still wasn't sleeping and when nothing was going on and she couldn't do her autogenics. But what she did tell me was the white van, which was going here, had actually changed. It was yellow and it whizzing past her right ear. And she laughed as she said it. She said, I think my brain is now deciding that it isn't the white van that's the problem. It's doing something different. Anyway, it was doing something different. A week later, she was closing her eyes fully. She was able to do her autogenic training. You can guess the end of the story. She was certainly sleeping by the end of the course. I was so impressed by that. I had no idea what I was doing, to be honest. I was a year or two into my practice. But the dream formula got her going with her AT. That's an extreme example. I don't think I've ever done it with anybody in that situation since. But several times people have noticed the dream formula actually doing something, which has prompted their ability to sleep through the dreams and therefore help their sleep. So that's the dream formula, which I give to my clients at this stage. So it's not compulsory. If you're sleeping well, you're fine. You can have your notes at the back of the page, at the back of your book, rather, and see how you get on. So this is our authentic group coming to its end, unless anybody's got a particular question about that. No?
I think I might use it because I'm having sleeping issues, but it might be related to this because at night it's really worse.
Yes, I get that, Sebastian. I think, you know, we might be masking too much of the dream formula to be helping you with this. You know, you've got to have your treatment. We absolutely get that. So, of course, there are those variables. This is not a miracle for all situations. Okay, yeah. And also the other thing about this dream formula is that it produces results very, very fast. Within a week, people are saying, I couldn't believe it. I was just sleeping after 3 days of doing the dream formula. It was amazing. Okay. But keep in mind, we are training the brain to accept dreams and allow them to go through. Right. So to end our session today, then, as the authentic group, we are going to do one more exercise of the new phrase, the solar plexus formula. We're not going to do that, Anne. We've just been talking about the structure of a class. You're going to come on with your bits in just a second. So we will pretend we've done a second practice of the solar plexus formula.
Okay. I'm just going to stop the video for me because I realize what happens with I think my broadband connection will only give me so much of many pictures. Do you see what I mean? So if I limit this and just leave the video and come back again.
Yes, that's fine. We're not going back to...
Come back again in 5 minutes at 12, shall I?
Yes, come back in 5 minutes. Yes. We are pretty much finished anyway, so yes, that's
or
fine.
Or 10 minutes?
Yes. No, don't need 10. No, five.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Right. So we're not going to do an exercise. I wasn't going to suggest that we did, unless you want to. We've got 5 minutes. Shall we do another solar plexus one? We'll go a little bit quickly. We'll cut the beginning bit, okay, because Anne is going to come back at 12 o'clock and then we would say our goodbyes. So let's get into the posture once more. We settle comfortably. When you're in this situation, you want to hurry it up a little bit. We can, because you are 6 weeks into your autogenics now. So we're in our seventh session. So you're so used to this. Let's settle in the posture. have an awareness of the body, how it's feeling at the moment, especially in the face. We're just making sure we're comfortable. Then we take account of the sounds. We're aware of the sounds and we let them be. And now, being aware of the body again, we go to the dominant arm. My right arm is heavy. My arms and legs are heavy and warm. My arms and legs are heavy and warm. My arms and legs are heavy and warm. My heartbeat is calm and regular. My heartbeat is calm and regular. My heartbeat is calm and regular. And now we'll go to the breathing. We can follow it. We can do it without any words at all. I'll pick things up in a moment. Now moving on to our new place, the solar plexus, the tummy, or the back. My solar plexus is warm. My solar plexus is warm. My solar plexus is warm. My neck and shoulders are heavy. My neck and shoulders are heavy. My neck and shoulders are heavy. I am at peace. I am at peace. I am at peace. Now we'll close in the usual way that we can manage. And have that stretch and deep breath as you open your eyes. So on. Okay. Right. 11:58. Didn't we do that well? Okay. Yes. Any important comment at this moment? Yes, Sebastian?
I had some sort of tingling sensations.
Where is the burning question?
Sorry, no question. No. just as a remark. I don't have any question.
No, my question. Where was the tingling?
Arms.
Yes. Arms. Okay, right. Very interesting. All observations are interesting because they are observations. Lovely. Any other comments?
No. Just lovely.
Oh, it's getting near Pia's bedtime. Yeah. Okay. Donna, any comment?
No, just that it was lovely. Thank you very much.
Right. Okay. Yes. That's not the point.
No.
Right. Okay. Right. Well, that wraps up our authentic group session. I'm hoping that given the conversation we had earlier about structuring the session, perhaps it's making a little bit more sense now when we actually do it. Yes. Okay. That's a learning thing for me. We must draw attention to that earlier in future. Okay, lovely. Well, now we want Anne to come back.